everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where real estate matters matter to you. That's what we talk about here on the show. We are live from the Linda Craft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park here in North Carolina, made up of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. But we talk to the world worldwide. I'm going to tell you what, today's show is going to be absolutely outstanding. Matter of fact, we asked a question on Facebook not too long ago. We said, what would you like us to talk about? And one of the things that came back was, how do you get your home ready for sale, right? Let's be honest here. During the pandemic, when we were selling homes, it didn't matter what you did to sell your home. The truth of the matter is, you could pretty much sell your home as is without inspections, pretty much, and you could sell it for top dollar. Well, things have changed pretty rapidly, haven't they? Right. Well, what's happened is now that the Fed has raised the interest rates, and then, of course, it has eventually dripped into the mortgage interest rates. We've seen interest rates go up, which means that what's happened is we have fewer buyers in the market, which means that we have bigger inventory, which means that we have, with a bigger inventory, we have now housing competition. So now, how do we put our best foot forward when it comes to making a great first impression to sell your house? Well, I have to tell you, I have two guests that are absolutely experts in this area. My first guest is no stranger to the show. His name's Andrew Truesdale. He is a listing specialist. He also works with buyers as well. And Andrew, when it comes to selling houses, I'm just telling you, the reputation is such that he gets top dollar for houses, and he knows how to get houses ready. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
And I'm going to ask you, how long have you been doing this now?
I've been at Linda Craft and Team Realtors for just over 10 years, and I've been helping clients list and buy their homes in the Triangle for a little over 13.
All right. So listing houses during the pandemic was about as easy as it got, wasn't it?
It was shooting fish in a barrel.
And so now things have changed, right? And where some people are saying, well, we're actually more normal. How would you describe it? Would you say it's more normal, or?
I would say it depends. You know, not every property is built the same.
Okay.
Not every price point is built the same. Mm-hmm. But there's absolutely a shift that's happening in the market right now as a whole. Okay. You know, what's really great about the Triangle market, the Raleigh, Durham, Cary market, is that we're still pretty insulated.
Right.
You know, when you hear a lot of this information that comes out, it's usually countrywide.
Right.
And here, you know, we've got the luxury of having a really robust relocation market. We've got a ton of people constantly coming to the area looking for housing. And so we kind of have a leg up over most of the other kind of metro markets here countrywide. But still, we are absolutely going through a shift. At the beginning of this year, you could certainly put a for sale sign in front of a child playset, and it would have multiple offers on it. That's changed. The competitive and the aggressive nature of the market here locally has shifted. But the best properties, especially the ones that are priced right, you know, you can't just pick a number out of a hat and list it for that amount anymore. And buyers aren't willing to just pay any amount for any particular house anymore. The one thing about the interest rates is definitely made buyers more conscientious of how much money they're going to be spending and taking on for their new house. And also, it's giving them kind of a sense of pause in terms of, I can't just buy any house and expect to put $50,000-$60,000 into it in the next year, because things are getting a little more tight when it comes to my pocketbook and how much loose cash I have to spend. And so, you know, in January, February, possibly these quote unquote fixer uppers, they might have had multiple offers on them, even if they were already $25,000 overpriced. Now, buyers are definitely saying, well, hold on a second. I've got to put on a new roof. I've got to redo the flooring. I've got to maybe put new countertops in the kitchen. This is too much for me to take on. I'm probably going to pass on this particular property. And that's something that in 2021 and even the latter half of 2020, we really didn't see. It was a mad dash to get any and every property that hit the market. And so, like for me, I specialize in helping sellers make top dollar on their sale. It was one of the best markets I could have ever dreamed up. I mean, it was a fantasy. It was amazing. And, you know, to be kind of boots on the ground with that through the whole experience of 2020 to where we are now at the latter half of 2022, there is definitely a sense of urgency for sellers. Should I wait? Should I see where this market is going? Should I put my house on the market now? The answer for all of those questions is yes, absolutely. You should definitely try and take advantage of a market where there's going to be more inventory that hits the market here in the next few months, and definitely I would think at the start of 2023. Because the one thing that's still a hang up for most sellers is I still need to find that place to go. And as long as that's going to be a hang up for sellers, the inventory and the amount of inventory is likely still going to move a little bit slower than in those traditional markets like we had back in 2018 and 2019. And what a lot of people think is they think that the interest rates are probably going to come back down to reality. They're never going to get to where they were during Fantasyland time, you know, at 2% and 3%, which right. is just free money.
Free money.
It's never going to be back there again. But realistically, we might see mortgage rates in that kind of 4.5% to maybe even 5% range again. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities for what may or may not come in 2023. And when those interest rates do kind of go down, historically, we see a spike in the amount of properties that get bought during that time period, because it's I don't know where they're going to go. They might not go down any further, or this might be my best chance to get a house. And so it usually does open up opportunities for people who are selling, which is the root of the inventory. You need to have a house to go to if you're going to put your current house on the market and kind of, you know, fuel the cycle. And so I think that right now is a prime time for sellers to really consider getting my house on the market, because historically, when we go into the winter months, there's usually less inventory. And that's always kind of been a good market for sellers, because even though there's less buyers, especially around the holiday season, there's less homes they're competing with. Now, this year, we're probably going to have more homes traditionally on the market, just from the layover from the summer fall market, and then from sellers who are taking my advice and getting their house on the market as soon as they can, in the best position they can and in the best appearance that they can, which we'll talk about. And I'm so glad that Fred's on the show with us today, because Fred and I, we've just worked magic together with a lot of the properties that we've listed here at Linda Craft Team. And so I can't wait to hear what he has to say and his insight in the marketplace. But yeah, sellers right now, it's really a great time to still be a seller. And I think with where the market is going, 2023 will probably be much more of a balanced, stable market for buyers and sellers. And a lot of that will be because of the extra inventory that's on the market. And the inventory now that's typically having price reductions or sitting, it's usually inventory that was priced maybe too high in the first place. And it's that carryover that you were talking about, Jay, where in January and February, you could literally put, you know, that green egg that I got from Ace Hardware on the market and put in front of a house, and you'd have multiple offers. Now, you're still going to get a lot of showings, not nearly as many as there were in the beginning of the year. And the showings are ultimately what results in extra offers. But the properties that are in the most sought after locations, that are typically in the most desirable price points, they're still going to have enough interest that multiple offers are not completely out of the realm of possibilities. But yeah, buyers are in an opportunity right now where they may be able to get a better deal than they thought they could have walking into 2022, especially with how the market started.
This is what I think people have to kind of get their mindset changed, because mm-hmm. I think we can get really spoiled.
Yeah.
Right. And we did. We got really spoiled in the real estate market, regardless of where you're at. I mean, houses were just flying off. But now we've got inflation. Mm-hmm. And so the Fed is trying to do whatever they can to calm inflation down. We talked about that in last week's show to a great extent, but which, by the way, I had no idea that Steve Kruger had an economics degree. I hadn't, from University of Tennessee. Who knew that?
I mean, I didn't even know he went to college. So, you know, now
I had no idea.
He constantly surprises me. But he
explained inflation and how the Fed, and he explained it unbelievably. It was beautiful. But one of the things that you start to pick up on is that when we were in an inflationary market, they have to continue to raise rates in order to get inflation to calm down. And that means, and you said it best, the chances of us getting to that 2% to 3% again, probably not going to happen.
Yeah. How could it? It was a supply and demand, I think. Effect that the banking, they thought that there was going to be this drop off, in March of 2020. And I think that ultimately to keep the status quo and to keep buyers engaged in getting mortgages and refinancing and getting loans, they had to make it really appealing to get a mortgage. And ultimately, there's two sides to every story, whether or not they should have started, raising rates earlier in 2021 versus waiting to 2022. Everyone has an opinion, but at the end of the day, for us in the industry, it was the gift that kept on giving. I mean, ultimately, to have that ability to get that free money is amazing. And the football doctor, Steve Kruger, as he said on last week's show, he gave a lot of good nuggets of advice. And I think that ultimately, it's just something where when you look back historically, a 5% rate, even a 6% mortgage rate, is still a really good rate.
It really is. When I first started in real estate back in 1997, I think we were about 7.5 to 7.75. Mm-hmm. And everybody thought that was great because when Linda got into real estate, it was 18%.
Right.
Right. That's in 1985. It was like 18%.
Right.
Which we're not going to see. I don't envision us seeing 18% again.
No, but just goes to show you that a lot of the baby boomers right now who make up a big part of the selling population, that was the interest rate that they were used to.
Right.
Right. When they first were buying their house, when they bought their first house, maybe in the mid 80s or,
and houses
early
were
90s.
Selling.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. They were selling and it was a great time to be in real estate. Right. And I don't believe that the real estate market is in any jeopardy of not being a good investment anymore. I don't believe it's in any jeopardy of, not being a great tool to build wealth and acquire wealth, long-term and short-term. It's one of those things where you just have to be realistic with your expectations.
Right.
If you weren't able to sell your home at the beginning of the year in 2022, it doesn't mean that your home isn't worth more now.
Right.
Your home is absolutely worth more now.
Right.
You just might not have the same type of market effect that those homes that were listed in January and February had. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of in my professional opinion, it's a good thing.
Right.
Because ultimately, there were so many buyers that missed out on homes. And there were a lot of buyers that didn't have the opportunity to get a home.
Right.
And, really, we don't want to be in an industry where people don't have the ability to buy a home if they want to buy a home. Now, I do think right now, buyers are being much more choosy and selective with the homes that they proceed with an offer on. And again, that's where, the big topic of the show today, preparing your home for the market, mm-hmm. getting your home ready, having it look its best is so critical to the success that you're going to have as a seller. Because as a seller, you're going to want to put yourself in the position to get top dollar. Whenever you do consider listing your home, and if you're listening to this show, listing your home right now would absolutely be a great idea. But even if you list your home in the spring market of 2023, the proven strategies that you would use now, you're going to still use then. You're going to still get your curb appeal ready. You're going to still consider painting your house so that it's a neutral color and not a personalized color because you love how your dining room things look with a particular color in your dining room, or your daughter or son's favorite color for the bonus room, or just any of the things that turn your house into your home that most buyers may not find as appealing. Because especially with the way the market is shifting right now, buyers really do want to kind of feel like they have a blank slate. They want to feel like they can emotionally and mentally put themselves into that property and start envisioning a life in that house. And whether or not that house will be what they decide to call their home. And I think that that's something that really is now more important than ever for sellers. You absolutely can still get top dollar in this market. You absolutely can sell in the first weekend or first week or first 30 days on the market. And you absolutely will make more money today than you did a year ago, let alone 6 or 9 months ago.
Right.
But it's kind of shifting your mindset as the market shifts.
Okay.
And right now, to me, if I were selling my home today, I would want to try and make anything and everything from the entryway, as soon as a potential buyer walks into the front door, to when they get to my backyard or when they get to my upstairs or even my garage. I would want to make it so that it appealed to the most buyers possible. And to appeal to the masses, you can't really be an individualist, right? You can't really have a personalized paint color in every single room. You can't really expect your furniture that you've had for 10, 11 years, that's still quality furniture. I mean, listen, the tags are still underneath the footstools, right? But they're not going to appeal to everybody.
Right.
And, you know, from the things you do to spruce up your front garden to make it pop in the pictures and when buyers pull up with their agents at the front door. I mean, these are all tried and true methods to help you attract the most interest on your home, that in this market right now, this shifting market, is so important. It's absolutely the most important thing you can do, because at the end of the day, buyers come to properties to rule them out. Buyers are already planning on putting a big X over that MLS sheet when they get to that house, because they're anticipating that there's going to be something else better. And most of the time, it takes a buyer walking into a property before they actually really fall in love with that home. And so the things that you can do to really appeal to the most buyers gives you the best chance to get that buyer who gives you that offer that you say yes to.
Okay, so the National Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. Did a survey, and I happened to catch this survey by accident, and they said that in the survey that doing things that have an emotional appeal, basically little things to your house, can cause a house to sell 3 to 30 times higher than people who don't do anything to their house. So you've talked about a few of these things. Let's start from the outside, working in of what people should be working on in terms of getting the house ready. And by the way, I had somebody, a friend of mine by the name of Stefan, who has got an Airbnb. And he said, oh, this probably would apply to me too, wouldn't it, as an Airbnb, to get make sure that I get top, you know, top of the market for my Airbnb as well. So this isn't just applying to selling your home. It's also, if you're in that Airbnb thing and you're, you know, or you're renting any sort of property, right, that you could do. So let's start from the outside in, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when a buyer comes in, how much does that manicured yard and the, you know, nice little shrubs mm-hmm. and the, you know, no cracks in the driveway, how much does that matter?
You know, it all matters. And what's funny is the first thing I was thinking about when you were talking about the outside was just to really say, mow your grass. You know, just cut your yard. It's the easiest thing you can do when you're getting ready for the market on the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, keep it clean, right? You know, blow the leaves, right? Power washing. Power washing is such an easy thing that you can do. You can rent a power washer from, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's and just clean off that front walkway, clean off the driveway. And it makes such a difference. You know, clean is cool. Like, everybody wants a clean entryway and just a feeling of, you know what, this house has been cared for. Because again, it goes back to how a buyer feels about the property. If they feel like the property's been maintained, hopefully it has been, but if they feel like the property's been maintained, they're going to feel better about writing a big check for that house. So, you know, cutting the grass, keeping, you know, if you've got bushes or trees, you know, keeping them nice and neat and trim, you know, especially for when that first impression happens when you hit the market initially. Power washing is something that is just really an easy thing that almost every house could use. Every house could use a clean, you know, I mean, we brush our teeth twice a day, you know, hopefully you do. You know, if you're lucky, at least once a day, but you know, a house needs to be cleaned at least once or twice a year. It really helps it stand out, especially when you get on the market. It's one of the easiest things you can do with the outside. So yeah, power washing and cut your grass. Those two things for sure. Can't go wrong.
And I just want to say this, if anybody from Lowe's or Home Depot is watching this show, we would love you as a sponsor, by the way, because we are a real estate show. We are real estate, you know, right now, you know, Real Estate Matters. So if you want to sponsor this show, we're looking for sponsors. So let me know, Lowe's, Home Depot, maybe both of you, you know, we can do that. I had to do that free plug. Let's talk about now, you talked about getting into the entryway. Mm-hmm. All right. So we walk through the front door. Mm-hmm. What do we need to do in the entryway? What do we need to clean up there to make an first impression?
You know, and this can go for the entire inside. Less is more. For buyers, the less you are showing off how this is your house from your personalized photos or your coats that are hanging on the coat rack or your knickknacks or just anything that you have, which a lot of people have. You know, when I come into my front entryway, I've got a sign that says, you know, the Truesdale household on it. You know, love it. That's when my wife and I, we bought the house and we started a family in the house. It's important to us. But if we were listing our house for sale, we would remove that, because my hope is that another buyer, when they walk into my house, they can start to envision their family name in my house for many years to come. And so it's really about depersonalizing, decluttering, and that all can start with the first step you make into a potential home for a buyer. They really want to see open spaces. They want to see cleanliness. They typically want to see one neutral color. You know, a lot of times I'll go into potential sellers' homes and the foyer, because it is a first impression spot, first impression for when you have friends over or you socialize or your kids' friends come over or your family or, you know, parents come by. It's always something where you may want to put a little personalized touch in that room. And for selling your house for top dollar, that's really the worst thing you can do. You really want to keep your personal touches away from the canvas when you're trying to sell your home for top dollar.
Yeah, this is something that just occurred to me as you're talking about the entranceway. You know, this is where, you know, you probably want to take the toothbrush and get the toe mold, right? Really kind of nice and clean, right? Out. And you know, if you got hardwood floors, maybe get them redone a little bit up front, right? Just,
you know,
I don't know.
I mean, I think you could go overboard with like everything. You know, what's that commercial where it's like, we should probably plug another sponsor, but that commercial where it's like, don't overdo it, right? I don't know if it's a Geico commercial or something. Right. It's like, you know, don't go too far overboard, right? Everything's in moderation. If your house needs it, if your house really needs to have a good deep cleaning on the baseboards, then you probably should do it, and you should consider doing it before you hit the market, because buyers aren't going to be able to walk that first impression back. Whether or not you need to go and refinish your hardwood floors, it comes down to the condition of the hardwood floors. I think, and this is where Fred, who will be up next, he's going to be a great kind of a source of information on this, because he deals with this every day, is, you know, the little touches of staging here and there. You know, we were talking about depersonalizing the house a moment ago. You also want to make sure your house is not vacant and not in a sense of where I've taken too much out of the house, because then all the imperfections, the hardwood floors, the baseboards that could have used the little toothbrush on the side show. You want to do something to kind of detract from where buyers' eyes will just wander throughout the entire process of them evaluating your home and seeing if it could be their next home. And so a lot of times you want to just be very selective with what you do. So in the foyer area, when you walk into the home, a choice rug when you get in there that could really tie in that neutral color throughout the house and just give you a little pop of color, or give you something there that when a buyer walks in, they don't really look for all the scratches on the hardwood floors at that point in time, because that rug, which looks good, and they could maybe buy a rug like that at Home Goods or, you know, at one of the other sponsors that we could possibly have for the show. You know, that could be something that is great for that potential seller to really go and kind of mask some of the things about normal wear and tear items, like redoing the hardwood floors. The floors to me are one of those things where hopefully you've got a good neutral tone throughout the house. I typically don't suggest to potential sellers to redo their floors unless they absolutely need it, because I don't feel like you get the same bang for your buck, because you never really know what a new owner is going to do with their floors. They may completely change them and go with a luxury vinyl plank, or they may just change the color and redo them and completely change it to their own personal preference.
Great point. So I will say no, don't do that.
Yep.
Okay, good for me.
That's why you would hire me to help you get top dollar.
By the way, that's why you do not want me to be doing this with your house. All right, let's talk about, you know, making the rooms look bigger.
Yes.
Because I think that's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I love this one because it was actually something before I got into real estate, I didn't really realize how tiny rooms looked empty. You know, when you are a renter, and you go and look at different apartment complexes, which most of us at some point, that's where we start off. That's usually our first housing. Most every apartment building that you go to check it out potentially is usually vacant. There's nothing in the rooms. They're clean, the walls are clean, the carpet's clean, but that's about it. But then when you start looking at houses, you really don't want to see empty rooms, because here's the thing. Empty rooms not only sell typically for 5 to 10% less than a tastefully staged room or house, but they also look smaller. Everyone thinks, oh, well, if my stuff's not there, they'll look bigger. Well, the problem isn't the empty space. The problem is your stuff is probably too big for the space. And that's where staging and that's where selective furnishings can make the world of difference for a potential space. Because even though your furnishings were perfect, that big lazy boy chair in the living room that's so comfy that you just want to kick back, you know, have a cold soda and just put on the football game, that might not be the best piece of furniture for that space when you're trying to show off your living room layout. Based on the other pieces of furniture that you have in there. Master bedrooms are notorious for this. I'll go into master bedrooms where there'll be 6 and 7 pieces of furniture in there. And every single piece of furniture has a use for that particular homeowner. I mean, from their shoes or their purses or their socks. I mean, there's a space for everything they have. But it's too much for the space to show it off in its best light. Right. And so less is more when it comes to furnishings. Less is more, but some is better than none.
Yeah. Well, so, and by the way, I can't believe that we've done this already for 30 minutes. It's crazy. But one of the things psychologically we know is that we need to have something in the room because we need that depth perception. It gives us depth perception. But if you have too big a furniture, you reduce the shrink of the room. Now, that doesn't mean that you put the children's chairs out there.
No. And again, this is where, you know, you want to hire a specialist. You want to get with an expert in the marketplace who knows how to help you not only spend money wisely, which to me, the easiest things you can do in terms of spending money on your house, paint, neutral paint throughout the house, choice staging. If you don't have furnishings and you want to bring in a company like Show Homes of Raleigh to help you with the staging, That's a great bang for your buck. And that's what we try and do for all the seller clients that we work with. And then also being able to know what to do and what not to do. Like in your situation, Jay, you know, don't redo the floors. Okay. That could be $5,000-$6,000 that we just helped you save because you really might not have needed to do that with new paint, choice staging that will help you in that regard. And then just really everything else that goes with having a great first impression, because in this market, in the shifting market, buyers are absolutely still wanting and needing to buy houses. Like, don't get it twisted. Buyers want to still buy houses. Right. Nothing is going to change that. There is always going to be buyers for homes. Where buyers are starting to pump the brakes is they're just not going to buy any and every home anymore at any and every price. And so if you want to accomplish getting top dollar, you absolutely want to make sure you're making a great first impression. And these tips that we've talked about today, I mean, they are just spot on.
So, all right. So listen, if you want to list your home and you really want to get it for top dollar, you're going to want to talk to Andrew. Andrew, tell them how they can get
hold
of you.
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is on my mobile at 919-830-1551. You can also email me at andrew@lindacraft.com or chat with me on our website, www.lindacraftteam.com. And you can also, you know, we'd love to hear your comments or messages on the show. So just hit us up on Facebook.
See, do you know what? You're already getting love. Here's Christy Slater going, great job, Andrew Truesdale. Well said. So
Christy, thank you.
You're getting love already. Paul Fitz is on there going, everything matters. Everything. Pitty. Great job, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jay.
Send in our friend Fred. That was Andrew Truesdale, listing specialist, and he also works with buyers here at Linda Craft Team Realtors, and giving us his top tips of how to make a best first impression. I have to tell you what, my next guest who is coming on is really, first of all, he's a character. When it comes to people that I know, and I've known him for years, Fred Pearson is one of those guys who just has this great sense of humor. And I've loved being around him. He's been a great guy. I've known him. Gosh, I don't know how long I've known you, Fred, but it's been a long time that we've known each other in different capacities. And so are you the owner of Show Homes Raleigh?
Yes. Okay. My wife and I both own the company.
Okay. And now, how long have you been doing show homes or staging houses, I should say?
We bought the company about 12 years ago.
Okay. And then before that, weren't you doing some staging then too?
No. I was actually in another career, hospitality. I ran hotels. I was a GM for Starwood.
Oh, really? Yeah, I got it. My Starwood points are at zero right now. is what they are. All right, listen. So, what is Show Homes of Raleigh? What is that? So help people understand what Show Homes is.
Show Homes is a one-stop shop for realtors, brokers, and for anyone who is looking to prepare to sell their house. We offer a wide array of services. Most staging companies just place furniture in vacant houses, and we actually do so much more. And I'm happy to touch on each of those areas. Yeah. But I wanted to start off a little bit about what we've seen in the marketplace over the last 2 years, just post pre-COVID, through COVID, and now we're living in a post-COVID world. Right. And in the last 2 years, our real estate market here in the Triangle has just been incredible. For people who sold during the last 2 years, it's been amazing. And I think everyone has heard the rumors of the neighbors who were listing their house fairly, and it would sell in 1 weekend. Streets would become parking lots. The news media was involved. And then numbers of up to, we staged houses that were selling for $150,000 over list, waiving the inspection, and closing in 10 days. And as we talked before, there was a Fed chairman who used the word irrational exuberance many years ago. And I think our market reacted to conditions that just everything lined up perfectly for a period of time. And we had a really great run for about 18 months. But now, post-COVID, that has changed, and it's changed dramatically. So one of the things that we speak with sellers about when we meet with them is that they have heard all the stories. And so we do want to let them know that things have changed in the market. I think it was unrealistic to see 20 to 30% increase in valuations in such a short period of time that it had to come back to settle. And what we thought would be, again, to use Fed terms, a soft landing has been more abrupt. Mm-hmm. I think the combination of raised increase into the Fed rate has now pushed mortgages to over 6%. Mm-hmm. This has pushed buyers to the sidelines to have a wait-and-see attitude. So the resultant is properties are no longer selling in a weekend. And don't get me wrong. Some do. Location.
Right, and price.
And price and square footage. But the last 18 months are over, and now sellers need to realize, to be competitive in a real estate market in the Triangle, that they need to prepare their house, and I'm happy to talk about that. But first, just understanding that that $100,000 overvalue over the valuation is by the wayside, and now inspections are back, which is good. Closings are still happening. Now, the good news is that the Triangle market has not changed in the many, many years that we've been here. It is still one of the best places to live in the entire country. I think we've been rated number one now for the last couple of years. So the good news is demand is there. Buyers are just struggling with the interest rates for their mortgages, selling their homes as they move to the Triangle. So what we're trying to do is maintain price integrity. So in other words, we've seen that literally 20 to 25% increase in valuations. We want to hold on to that as much as we can. And I think that's where smart real estate companies, brokers, agents are partnering with companies like Show Homes to be able to do what is needed in a timely manner to maintain. Although it will take a little longer to sell, we're trying to maintain the seller's price integrity from the last 24 months. Does that make sense?
No, it makes complete sense. And you set it up beautifully, by the way. I was kind of like, oh, what's he going to do? And then all of a sudden you kind of pulled it all in there. And I was like, oh, that's it. By the way, has anyone ever told you that you have an amazing voice for radio? I'm serious, man. You got this great big booming bass voice that is just absolutely perfect for...
It was always more desirable in choir than it was in public speaking.
Well, it's awesome. Listen, if you want to get out of the show home things, I think I can help you with a career in podcasting. I'm just telling you this. All right, so show homes of Raleigh. Help us understand now some of this details of what you do.
As a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is every property is different.
Okay.
Although we live in a very traditional area, the reasoning, we look at every client's property individually. And sellers come from a different perspective as buyers. I know that, but let me explain what that means. So we see there are basically two types of houses that come on the market, and I'm just being very honest and very forthright. To upkeep a house runs anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 a year to be proactive. And, you know, life gets in the way, kids, college, medical, and that prevents many sellers from being able to invest regularly into their property. So what they find out is we're ready to sell the house for whatever reason, retirement, moving, and we come into the property. And so the two dichotomies we deal with are the properties that have been extremely proactively well-maintained, just need the polish of staging, restyling, and they're good to go. The vast majority of the rest of us live in the real world. And as such, we approach them. And many times this comes from the listing agent. I will say that our 12-year relationship with the Linda Kraft team, I hope I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, absolutely.
It comes from the fact that the team knows what every property needs to be most marketable. And so we are briefed prior to meeting with the client that this is a property that may need updating services. Once that's completed, may need staging services. And so we always meet with the seller. Many times sellers live out of state, and we can teleconference or Zoom, even FaceTime when we walk through their property. But for us, we look at it as what is the minimum investment that a seller must put into their house to maximize the return on a contract for sale. Buyers are a little different. We're working on a property now, and I prefer working with sellers. Buyers are very, very, very particular, and it's a lot more hand-holding and helping and change orders versus a seller who is simply, Fred, I need show homes to get the most money out of my house. Tell me what I need to do. And so obviously the logic is paint, carpet, popcorn removal, light fixtures. And to a great extent, a lot of this is not very expensive and is very simple. It's really, we bring 12 years of relationships with vendors who in this market, you don't wait 5 weeks to get a painter. We have them there the next week because we're keeping them busy. And as a result, we can usually do a turn on a property in about 30 days. Carpet, paint, appliances, stone, granite has now become less expensive than quartz. 10 years ago, you couldn't give quartz away. So it's funny how those things have changed in the marketplace. But for us to come in, and then a seller may have done some improvements. They've got the countertops. They've got their new appliances. But 8 years in a house, it needs to be repainted. Trying to do touch-ups in a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot house is challenging. And so it's easier to start with a canvas that has paint, carpet, wood floors. You don't necessarily need to strip them down and stain them with three coats. You can do what we call a buffing coat, which is just a light sanding, a top coat of polyurethane. It smells and looks like new. So those are the tricks of the trade that we use to what's that least investment to give that buyer. And all of this that we do is to lead a buyer to be able, sellers must recognize they have 3 minutes of a buyer's time. Buyer's going to look at four houses in a day, maybe five, and they're with their agent. And so what we call impact rooms are what impact a buyer in the first 3 minutes.
Okay, what are impact rooms?
Well, it's basically as you walk in a house, we want, and it starts from the curb, obviously. People use that term curb appeal. So curb appeal starts from the moment they get out of their car and they walk, assessing emotionally your house, the house that's being sold. So that means the walkway, the driveway, has it been power washed? The plants, are they all bright, clean, colorful, nothing dead? Mulch, change the mulch.
Freshen it up.
Just have it so that from that walk to the car to the front door, then the front door, has it been painted? New hardware, $150, get a new lock on that, because all those little things register emotionally for a buyer. They open the door, and we want just to have them realize that they connect, and we call it this way in staging. If we can get a buyer to connect emotionally with your house, you're halfway to an offer. And so the impact rooms are usually what are on the first floor. You walk in, formal living room shown as a home office, formal dining room down the hallway, family room open to the kitchen, breakfast eat-in area, and then you have a sunroom, and then master bedroom, master bath, up or down. That's a standard staging package that we do. So when we stage, we try to make sure that those key impact rooms. Now, certain houses have bonus rooms, have game rooms, have whatever it is, and we adapt creatively. What makes show homes different is the wide array of services. So on one hand, many times we do the update, and in 30 days, we turn right around and we stage the house. One of the things I will say that we offer the Linda Craft team that is exclusive is that we stage their properties at no cost up front, and we are paid at closing from proceeds, from the seller's proceeds. Mm. That is something from a long relationship with Linda that we find, because in this economy right now, many people do not have that investment in staging. And one of the things I tell my clients is the investment in staging will always be less than your first price reduction.
Okay, here's what's interesting. And I gave this statistic to Andrew when he was on. But National Association of Realtors had done a survey and said that staging the home will lead to 3 to 30 times greater sale than in a home that's not staged. So meaning that they get a higher price.
So if three homes are looked at, you have the best chance of getting an offer.
Yeah, if they say 3 to 30 times more.
That's absolutely correct.
As a stager, I mean, do you have those kind of statistics too, where you find that staging really does improve not only whether you get sold, but also increase the price?
So it's very strange. When COVID started, we were very concerned how staging would affect the market. We quickly learned that we were actually busier during COVID.
Really?
Because staging wasn't to get the house sold. Staging is what was getting the 30, 60, 80, 100,000 over. People knew they were under pressure. They had to make an offer. That whole coming soon Friday, multiple offers on Monday, the staging, it blew our mind. Every house we were staging was selling in one weekend and for significantly over. Now, We're continuing to stay busy because now it's like, you know, I didn't need staging for a couple of years. This property's been on the market 40 days. Mm. I'm ready. And we always tell clients the most important thing is those first 30 days. Invest in staging. Get ready so the day you have your photography and you go online. That's what we look at now. We have become, the internet has become the basis for how many hits, How many favorites? Those criteria, those hard data, gives you statistical probabilities of when that offer will come and the amount of that offer by just looking at mining the data. We, on the creative side, our job is to just make it beautiful. Now, in staging, there's many different types of staging. There are staging companies that can do sofa, table, chair, and it's staged. We call that light staging. Buyers come in and there's no connection and they already knew. Show home stages with rugs and lighting, artwork, accessories, hard goods, soft goods. We create an environment, so we want to blur the lines of someone coming in and visually saying, I can see this is my home. The complement to that is, I would say, 20% of our houses were asked if we would sell the furniture.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you that because I've been in the houses where you've done staging, and you go, I want all this.
It's not so much that they love it. I think it's just easier to go, what's an extra 25 grand? The house is ready to go.
Right.
And I'm a business guy.
Right.
So if you want to buy my furniture, however, my design team said, are you out of your mind with supply chain issues? We're waiting 4 months to get furniture.
Right.
So, and we can't find a lot of the unique pieces without a lot of hard work and High Point and all of that. So we normally don't sell the furniture we put in the houses. But staging is just one aspect. It's the final, if I could express to folks listening in and watching, what you really want to do is realize that selling your house to a buyer is a snapshot in time. That you've lived in that house for years, you're getting ready to sell, but the person coming in basically 3 minutes or less, is going to make a decision whether they want to buy your asset. And we want your asset to perform. And so lining up that checklist, and I believe Linda's team has an amazing checklist that you give to every seller. I think we're somewhere on there near the bottom to be the last thing that is done prior to photography, prior to listing. And by a seller getting their house improvements done, deep cleaning their house outside and inside, considering whether staging is right for them and the level of staging. And many times we go to houses that are North Raleigh, higher end properties, and they have fabulous furnishings. We do what's called a restyle, where we basically keep the best bits they have and supplement them with our staging so that when you walk in, again, it's blurred. You can't tell where does the private person and the model home cross. And those are the most effective. And that's usually in the luxury market and beyond. But we're also seeing market segmentation and trying to adapt services and needs to each of those buyers. We work with a lot of flips. Investors, they're still out there, and Airbnbs. And we do turnkey for Airbnbs where we come in and in 3 days, we completely furnish the Airbnb down to the silverware, the lighting, the towels, the sheets, and they're ready to go. So it's a wide array of services to diversify revenue and to be able to service all market segments.
So when you I have a feeling that I'm going to ask this question, but my problem is because of the different segmentations of the market that there's not one answer. So let's say I don't want to go to luxury. I want to do kind of the mid-range home, the average typical price on what is it in a triangle now? 425 or something like that.
450, 550.
Yeah, right. So somewhere in there. What is it that you're typically doing in that type of home? You talked about a number of different things that you do, but what do you generally see that you do in that mostly?
So there's really, I would say, updating and staging. Mm. And they go hand in hand. If a seller has lived in a property for more than 5 years, it needs to be freshened up. And it can be done... what we see is when a seller tries to do it, they're a little overwhelmed. And I'll just give you one quick example. We've lived in our house 23 years. The kids have gone. If we tried...
Congratulations, by the way.
if we tried to prepare for sale, the first thing we do is take Post-it notes, three colors, red, green, and yellow. And red, you tag everything in the house that's going to be thrown away. Green, you tag everything in the house that you're going to keep. And yellow is everything you're going to donate or take a tax. And so now you go back to the house a week later and there are 3,000 sticky notes everywhere. We're halfway there. Okay. Now I coach them and go, great. Linda's truck is available. We would love to come and take it all to the restore, get the tax write-off, bring it back to you. Do you want to take it to the dump? We'll take it to Wake County dump, get rid of it. And so little by little, they're getting their piles down to a manageable level to prepare the house for sale. So that's just one
tip. Is it amazing how much stuff we accumulate?
We're a consumptive society.
Have you ever run into a place where you just went, there are so many red sticky notes? Have you ever run into that where you just...
Look at why there are so many storage facilities in this country. No, I think it's just normal with our society. But back to your question of preparing the house for sale. Getting in there, painting carpet are two of the very basics. Just to give some round numbers, an average house, that $450,000 house, can get new carpet, new paint, new light fixtures, possibly some appliances, and I can keep it at around $20,000 to $25,000. Show Homes works on a cost plus basis, meaning you get my discount, not my markup. And we charge a flat fee, and at the end of the project, they get all the receipts, and it's determined whether they can use it as a deduction. But also, they see what we get, what our pricing is. So another reason that we're extremely successful is because we do that cost plus for updating. We do it in a short amount of time. There's one point of contact. And the whole theory of us is what is the least needed to spend to get the most for the house. And it was a no-brainer to put in 25 to get 100.
Right.
Now it's 25 to get 50, 60. But again, every house is different. The staging is a completely separate entity, and the staging is the icing on the cake. It is to make sure that the photography, you look at five houses online, if only one of them is staged, I can tell you right now, they're going to go look at the staged house. If two of them, probably two and then one vacant. So, and it all comes back to the investment in staging will always be less than your first price reduction. We haven't even had to have price reductions
for
2 years.
Say that again.
I always tell my clients, the investment in staging expense will always be less than your first price reduction.
Okay, folks, wherever you're listening, I don't care where you're listening, you write that down and then etch it in your brain. Okay, keep going. That's awesome.
No, because many times people have already spent the money, and that's why we wanted to make it a no-brainer for Linda's clients. For Linda's clients, if they don't have to worry about the upfront expense, I am so confident in our services and what we do after 12 years that I can wait to be paid at closing 30 to 45 days later. That's a testimony to the quality of the team and how willing we are to go out on a limb because we believe in our product and services.
We've done this thing for almost 30 minutes now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. this has been great. Listen, we've got about a minute or so left. So tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to look at staging because you're a one-stop shop. I mean, you do all this.
We do everything.
So how can
So let me tell you what makes us different than every other staging company. One, we're the only staging company that allows people to live on our furniture. Now, we do limit it to two dogs, one cat, and a snake.
That's beautiful.
Well, they caught the snake that was in Raleigh last year. So really it's just, but between small children and we do have to kind of be a little particular.
Right.
But we do allow homeowners that are in staged houses to live on our furniture. Also, we learned very quickly, and I'm not trying to give away anything in the industry here, but stagers by nature find what works in the market, and they have a tendency to repeat themselves in every house. Because it worked in that house, let's do it in this house. No two houses are the same. So I brought in a designer and a stager. The designer is about color, texture. The stager is about placement and flow. Two people working together ultimately provide a better, higher quality product that gets that emotional connection that results in an offer quicker at a higher price.
All right. So now tell them, how do they get a hold of Fred and Raleigh Show Home?
You can get a hold of me directly at 919-244-9688.
Repeat that again.
919-244-9688. And we don't charge to come out. So we will always come out, walk a property. You can't look at it online, wide angle lenses. We want to walk that property with the client. And we will tell you very honestly what you need to do to get top dollar.
And they can also reach you on Facebook, because I liked your page on Facebook, Raleigh Show Homes of Raleigh.
If only I knew how that worked.
Yeah, no, so it's Show Homes of Raleigh on Facebook. If you go there, you can like the page, and they actually have a place where you can contact them and reach out, and they got their phone number and everything.
The website is actually, I have a young lady that handles that, but showhomesraleigh.com is the most effective way. It's examples of our work. We are a national franchise. So showhomesraleigh.com. And thank you so much.
Well, listen, you've already got some love. Christy Slater comes back in and says, go Fred. Show Homes, Raleigh rocks. Great stuff. Rose Broglie says, impressive. So you've already got some love out there. Thanks, Fred, for doing
this.
Stay with me here.
Thank you so much.
Hey, folks, this is the show. This is Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. Listen, I know you have a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you. Please tell your friends. Give us a positive review wherever you listen to the show, whether that be Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, or wherever it is. Folks, as I say to you every week, thank you so much. And as I say to you everywhere, all over the world, ciao, everybody.